special shout out to the Kentucky group. We have a group of in Kentucky. And that group in Kentucky has been in the battle. I mean, if you do Facebook, you ought to join David Z or Curtis or Leonard, any of those groups, and read those posts, buddy. You think that you got it rough? Man, they are contending for the faith. And we appreciate it. In fact, I had my first compliment in 25 years of ministry. Norm said, you must have trained those guys well. And I wish I could take that compliment. See, the first one thrown at me, and it isn't even really mine. It's the guys in Kentucky's are great students, and I appreciate that. And they're out contending for the faith. And a lot of people don't understand what that feels like. But let me tell you what, it will strengthen your knowledge and wisdom in Him. And the more you go out and battle, you never try the spirits. You never know what it is you really, truly believe until they start hurling darts at you. So, whatever that's all worth. So today I want to preach on a little bit of, Paul believed in prayer. And I believe in prayer. I believe prayer is probably the most important thing as a Christian, you have the capacity to do. You have the ability to go before the righteous God and the thrones of grace and say anything you want to God and in a private conversation. And God is absolutely amazing how He deals with. I want to start in Ephesians chapter 3. Notice, I'm going to start up in the context just a little bit in verse 6. Ephesians 3, verse 6. But the context really deals a little further up than that. But I don't have to go there for this message. So I'm not going to. If you want to read the context, you're more than happy. We'd be thrilled for you to do that. And take out a piece of paper and write down the notes. You'll enjoy them later. You'll hopefully be able to decipher them when you get home. I said that for Tony because if you saw his handwriting, he didn't even read his handwriting. One time he wrote a check and he thought it said 100 and it was 100,000. And I thought, well, this is a little too much, Tony, for the church. I'm kidding. He hadn't made any mistakes like that, I can promise you. Ephesians chapter 3, although he could write a $100,000 check, and that's the difference between Tony and a lot of people. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise. And by the way, do you know what the promise is? Yeah, it's righteousness. It's righteousness. That's the promise. I was fascinating with some of these guys' comments that we read on this post. But His promise is righteousness in Christ by the gospel. And He says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace, the gift of grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power, unto me who am the less and the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles, that's you in this room, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, you can't go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and figure out your salvation and on and on. To make all men see, this is His mission. People ask me all the time, what's the commission to the church? Well, here it is. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid where? Hid in God, who hath created all things by Jesus Christ, to in the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory, for this cause, for all this that I just read, for this cause, for all that I just read, for this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's praying. This is a prayer of Paul. And he's saying, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That is, God, Paul, when he prayed to the Lord, prayed that you all, listen to me, would be strengthened with might by the inner man. That is, that you would feed yourself with the Word of God and become the man of God that God intended for you to be. So, you know, your job is to do what? Study, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got it? So God intended for us to eat the word of God and put it in us and let it strengthen our inner man. Because listen, let me tell you what, I have no strength outside of the gospel of Christ. I have nothing. You know, really, most of us should all be pretty much silent. Think about it. What are we going to say? What are you going to brag about? What are you going to put down? I mean, everything I've got is by Him. And so the realization is my strength and my encouragement and everything that I've got comes from that inner man. He says that He would grant unto you, verse 16 again, according to the riches of His glory and strengthen with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of what? Man, Paul's praying some really powerful words here on your behalf. Paul isn't praying, oh, Lord, give me a Mercedes-Benz. Oh, Lord, pay my electric bill. It isn't, Lord, oh, come on, help me here. It isn't that kind of thing at all. Paul's praying that you would have the strength in the inner man, that you may be able to talk. Hey, he doesn't want you to get tossed to and fro. He doesn't want you to get jumbled up. And he wants you to know what you believe and be steadfast in that doctrine and be able to hold in that doctrine. Now, I can tell you that Paul's prayer here is pretty impressive. You know what I've learned about Paul's prayer? It isn't about him. It's about you. Everything he thought about was about you. He wanted you to get it. He wanted you to be filled. I think about this verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be able to be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, you're talking about complete? What was it, Jerry Maguire in that movie? What was the name of that movie? I guess it was Jerry Maguire, wasn't it? That was the name of the movie.
Yeah.
Jerry Maguire. And he goes, you complete me. He had no idea what he was talking about, although it was a great line. I pulled it on Brenda a couple times. I wait long enough till she forgets. Then I pull it back on her. You know, it's nice getting old because, you know, you start to realize. But you know what completes you? The fullness of God. Can you imagine really in your mind walking around with such a fullness and an understanding of the Word of God? That you actually talk like the Lord. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that for a minute? To walk around in such a degree of wisdom that you're actually talking like the Lord Himself. You know what's fascinating about the Lord? Is I don't think that He would talk like most people think He would talk.
That's right.
pretty interesting. But to be in that level of fullness, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22, and he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that what? That's the fullness we're talking about. Isn't that powerful? Now here's my favorite verse as a Christian. Now I've got a favorite verse when I became a Christian. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. But this is my favorite verse because you know what? We worry about everything, don't we? And like, oh, I wonder. Well, boys and girls, verse 20, he says, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or what? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that worketh where?
In us.
In us. Man, is that powerful? You want power? Put the Word of God in you. You want to get powerful? Know the Word of God. People say, man, I hadn't heard anybody like you know the Word of God. Well, you know what? I started putting it on. I wanted to know it. And the best way to go out there and know what you believe is to get in the battle, and Paul's praying that you'll be prepared. That's powerful, isn't it? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Not to some power that's working out there. It's already working in you. It's already working in you. You got it in you. If you're saved here, you got it in you. Say, well, I don't know how to access it. That's because you're not studying hard enough. You know, it was fascinating. A couple of the guys, Leonard, and I don't know if he's watching. He's out in Phoenix. It's pretty early there. But Leonard said, it's almost like magical how you pull these verses out and explain them to us. And you know, it's funny to me because I remember thinking the exact same thing about Brother Moore. I did. I thought, there's no way I'll get, how does he figure all this out? But the more you're out there talking it, the more you're out there doing it, guess what? It just becomes you. You know, the old thing used to be, hey, you are what you eat. Well, I hate to tell you, that's probably not totally true. Because otherwise you guys would all be donuts here. You understand? I understand that that's probably not true. But you are, listen to me very carefully, what you read.
That's right.
What you put in your mind does make a difference.
That's right.
You put false doctrine in, you'll be a false preacher. You put in encouraging words, you'll be a motivational speaker, but maybe still lost. You put the gospel in the words of this book, and you'll be a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God. That's the important thing here. All right, go to Colossians chapter 3. So, you know, I think that you need to have wisdom, and you need to have an encouraging thing to get out there and understanding that Paul's desire was that he might speak boldly. That's all he cared about. And I think that when in Colossians, I says it really well. Colossians chapter 4, look if you will in verse 2. One of the things of prayer, and I was going to do this up in Kentucky a couple weeks ago and totally forgot, but I think the Lord kind of waited until they were in the midst of the battles. He said, continue in prayer, watch in the same the same with thanksgiving, with, well, watch this, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak not the gospel of the kingdom, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the mystery of Christ. You see that? I mean, listen, God's not interested in you speaking what's already been spoken. He wants you to speak the mystery that was hidden from people's eyes and ears, and you have the words that can open and cause that light to come through. He says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which I for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to what? Speak. Walking in wisdom toward them that are what? Without. How do you do that? Redeem the times. Hey guys, it's not very hard to understand that we're living in times that are at the end of the... Anybody have any doubt that we're living in the end age? Anybody here? I mean, I don't know when the rapture is. That's a mystery. I'm okay with that. But you know what? I do know that we're living in the time when things in our lives are going to start changing.
That's right.
Can you imagine the United States completely falling apart?
It's on its way.
And if all you got, I thought about this, and people that are on disability, don't get mad at me or anything, that check may not be there. Social Security. Say, well, I'm retired. Yeah, but that doesn't mean diddly willy. You got it? It may not be there. Say, what is going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. Can't tell you what's going to happen. You got it? I just know something is going to happen. And if all you're trusting in is things and the things you see around you and you think your family is okay, listen, in a year from now, that may not be true. And what I'm trying to tell you is you can't pray about, oh, you know, people are praying about, I want a flat screen TV. I think I'll pray to God for that. How dumb is that? When their neighbors and their friends are lost, and Paul's prayers isn't about those kind of things. Paul's prayers is about getting the Word of God out, that he might be given utterance, that he might be given an opportunity to speak the Word of God boldly. He's praying that Norm's thinking about going on the, driving down the road, and finally found out he could get the MP3 players off our website and hook it up to a CB and walk in and have dinner while it's preaching. That's a good idea. Although the FCC may come and zero in on them and pull them off the air for that, but you know, hey, I will come see them in jail. You know, I'm not sure it's illegal, but you know, if it is, Norm, we'll come see your brother. Yeah. Oh boy, and you probably watched that movie Smokey and the Bandit. Guys, do you all understand that Paul's prayers isn't about stuff?
That's right.
It's about the opportunity to preach and teach the Word of God rightly divided.
That's right.
He wants to get the mystery out to people. And you know what? It ain't easy. You know what? If people come to church and they just listen, la, 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 it's another thing to get out in the battle of it and have to answer somebody's question about the Word of God. That is a whole different ball game right there. Now watch. I love this. Verse 5 again. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace. Got it? Have a little grace. But seasoned with salt. You know what that salt represents? The Word of God. Hey, I used to witness like this. Hey, are you a Christian?
Sure.
And people go, yeah. And then I took out the Bible and started showing them that there's none good, no, not one. whole different reaction. It's like, huh? Yeah, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Huh? As Scooby-Doo says, whoa, whoa. You know, I mean, the realization is that's exactly how people will. You know, when you open the Word of God, then the sword comes out. I never witness without my Bible. You know why? Because it becomes your opinion versus their opinion. And you know what? You can't change these verses if you want to. I mean, when I go to show somebody and start to witness to them and lay them out, I go right to Romans chapter 3. Look at Romans chapter 3. This isn't confusing. And Paul just wants the ability to open his mouth boldly. It's fascinating that these posts on Facebook that these guys have got has just been amazing. But the realization is that these are 100 posts after one verse was put up. Now, you know Facebook, that's where we met. But the realization is that it isn't one sentence. These guys are writing paragraphs. Oh, huh?
What was the one
verse? Oh, I could get it. I forgot what the... It was in Galatians. You remember the verse? Yeah, look it up. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't even that extreme of a verse. But boy, it was amazing. You got the people that believed in works for salvation and the ones that believed in grace out and buddy the battle. And I was honestly impressed with the ones that we have been associating with. Buddy, they used the Word of God from the very get-go and not philosophies. Thank God. But go to Romans chapter 3, and you know, this is where I start. Verse 9, what then are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved. What does that mean, proved? Yeah, it's tested. It's been done. So you don't, this isn't something you got to question. God's saying it's already been what? Proved. So, Jay, all you have to do is believe it. It's already been proved. And God said it. If God said that, is that okay with you? It's okay. And then just relax. It's true. Before Jew and Gentile, that they were all under sin. You know, it's amazing to me. I'm totally and completely dumbfounded. It's beauty, right? Now, don't let me get off track here. This is very important, guys. Listen to me very carefully. The Bible before proved both Jew and Gentile that how many were under sin? It said, all under sin. That's wild. So we got the law entered in with Moses. There's Moses. There's the law coming down. And the law was for 1,500 years. And for 1,500 years, we approved both Jew and Gentile that they are all what? Nobody kept the commandments. That's strange, isn't it? 1,500 years, nobody did it. Had the option. If they did it, would they be righteous? Yeah, they could have been righteous, Deuteronomy 6. All are under sin. Alan, now tell me if I go wrong here, right? 1,500 years, both Jew and Gentile, they were all under sin, right? So people think in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that they're going to all of a sudden keep it. That's kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, these people that heard it for 1,500 years heard it every single Sabbath, written on the walls, written on the tables, written on... I mean, it was written everywhere. What, do you see any commandments around here? Anybody? Someone stand up and give me all 10 of them. Just the 10 commandments. 619 or whatever it was? Well, we won't get that. That's a little hard. And some of you guys do like to have silk and cotton together. I know that. Fashion is like do everything backwards. Y'all understand? We are doing a rib dinner the 11th. That's
somebody insisted on being pork.
That is weird, you know, pork. You know, that's these guys that act like, oh, I'm so righteous. Well, why are you eating bacon? Hey, here's another one. Catfish. Oh, I'm spiritual. And I don't understand. And the other thing that I don't understand, how fat people think they're godly. I thought gluttony was a sin. You know, I mean, she says, I wish Sister Martha wouldn't smoke. I'm thinking, honey, I wish you hadn't eaten.
Maybe she was eating some smoked pig.
Exactly. You know, I mean, you know what I mean? And it's like the weirdest thing. And I'm not against healers, you know. I guess if they want to heal somebody, they can. But take the glasses off first. You know what I mean? I mean, just take the glasses off first. What's the point? Okay, now I can heal you.
That I can see
you. You understand the garbage that's going on? 1,500 years, nobody kept it. Nobody kept it. And then all of a sudden they have this idea that they're like the godly men of God. Really? You know what? I thank God for His grace, don't you?
Amen.
I thank God for His grace. You can say whatever you want, but thank God for His grace. Ephesians chapter 3, look at it again. No, Romans. Were you all in Ephesians? Well, that's what I want. Boy, you guys are turning on me quickly. I bet the people in Kentucky are having a fit. Romans chapter 3. Your ESP is not working good.
That's right.
Need to tighten up that knob. I got to get this cartoon for Renee. There's this. Did y'all ever see this Pixar cartoon before this movie? I guess it was Cars or something, and it's a big spaceship, and they're trying to get this kid out of this bedroom. And he's using all these buttons. Have y'all seen that? Oh, you guys got to watch that. I'll get that for the church. That was so funny. It reminds me, I'm going to change his name to Renee, though. Romans chapter 3. That was just to pull you. See, you know what that's called in preaching? A distraction to tell you that I went in the wrong direction first. Now you've forgotten about the effect. See how quick that was? And you're in Romans and you're ready for me to preach. No. That was intentional so that you would get your mind off the mistake I had made earlier.
Okay.
Which it worked until I reminded you. But that was just to prove the point that I was doing it on purpose.
Okay.
Look at Jim. He's back there praying for me. Verse 7. Now watch this. I'm going to go down to verse 10. I'm sorry. Verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. You know what? People can come up with all kinds of hard verses and try to explain away. But you know what? These easy verses, they're not hard.
That's right.
There's none righteous. How many?
No, none.
How do we know that? It was proved.
That's right.
For how many years? Nobody got it. So all of a sudden, people who listen to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John think they can do it. Isn't that a little bit loco?
That's a lot loco.
I mean, you know, someone ought to say, you know, we're having a hard time at this. I'm struggling. I seem to be failing more than I'm gaining.
Well, they only had the blood sacrifice in the 1,500 years, but they can confess now.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? Yeah, and by the way, confession never takes away sin. You understand? Confession never takes away sin.
I found out it spread it all over the church and everybody knew.
Yeah. Y'all understand? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You got it? Without the shedding of blood. So you can confess until hell freezes over, but unless you have the blood applied, there is no forgiveness. It's all about the blood. From the time it got started in Genesis all the way until Revelation, it's about the blood. Period. Verse 11. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They've together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. How many do good?
Nobody.
Nobody. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues they've used deceit. Poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace they have not known. Well, the only way you can have peace is to have the blood. All of a sudden, it's about Him, not about you. It's about what Jesus Christ did on that cross, at Calvary's cross, that makes it different for you. See, you guys got to understand, the realization is as we get to growing in grace, and as we start to do it, it's that strengthening of inner man that it had nothing to do with you. Man, that's the greatest release. Well, I walked the aisle for Jesus. Big deal. I confess my sin. Oh, like He's impressed. I was never so livid in this post of over 110 posts on Facebook that one of the guys used the term cheap grace. That's blasphemy. There wasn't anything cheap about God sending His own Son to die for you filthy, rotten, to think that He had some... I mean, can you imagine the audacity of someone saying it was cheap grace? Some stinking, filthy, adulterous, sorry, lying little piece of telling the Lord that it was cheap grace? I about came out of my skin. You got to be kidding me, you little piece of nothing. Don't you realize what you really are? Don't you look in the mirror and see what you really are, what you really think? Hey, man, I know, listen, you might be able to fool me for a little bit. You may be able to come to church and look like the greatest person in size bread, but I know what's going on in that filthy mind of yours. And when nobody else is looking, and when ain't nobody else saying, I know what's going on in your mind. You're a piece of trash. Don't you get it? Cheap grace. I don't even think I'm going to witness to him anymore. You know what? Someone that calls that cheap grace, I am buying a ticket for the flame ball. You know, cheap grace. I about wanted to puke out of my... I mean, I could not believe someone would say that, knowing he's an adulterer. Knowing that he's a sorry rascal, confessed it before the church. He knows what he is. And to say cheap grace, listen, there wasn't any one single thing, listen to me, that you could do on your behalf that Christ didn't do for you at Calvary. You know what? Not only did He die for my sins. And Paul, all he wanted was a prayer of utterance, just to be able to tell people this. You know what? When I tell you the gospel and when I preach the gospel to you, it's a gift. You may not like me. You may not think very highly of me. I don't think very highly of myself. You better listen to the words, because I'm being kind to you when I preach it to you. The words that I give unto you, they are life. There are very few churches listen to me in Montgomery, Alabama, in Kentucky, in Texas, California. The Harrises are watching up in D.C. Tennessee is watching. All those places that we're at, listen to me. There isn't a church, I guarantee you, that would preach the gospel any better than what we preach here.
Amen.
With a clarity to understanding how to get saved. You want to get saved? This is the church to be at. You want eternal life? This would be the church to be at. You want to grow in grace? I guarantee you, this is the church to be at. Say, why isn't it full? Because you know what most people don't want?
That's
the
right.
Truth.
Yep.
You know what they want? They want to tell people how good they are and what a great Christian they are and how they're smoking up the biblical trail.
Right.
They want to tell me what schools they've gotten to and all. I don't care. You got it? I don't care. This church is the most unusual church in all of Montgomery. We don't have a membership. You can't join. Isn't that weird? Would you like to join? Judy wants to join. Can't. You're either saved or you're lost here.
That's right.
Tried to get that through the IRS's head when we filed for our 501(c)(3). You got to have members. Really? Well, God's got members in His church. I'm just having meetings.
That's right.
Say, well, how many ethnic groups do you got? What does that have to do with it? I'll preach to anybody who will come in. I love people. So I told him I had William. I have one black guy that comes. That's the most ridiculous thing. You know who's welcomed here? Anybody. You know why? Because I'm interested in opening my mouth to the Word of God and getting people saved. That's my goal. Am I interested in, hey, you know what? There's a lot of churches that do all kinds of things.
That's right.
Don't call me for extra money. We ain't even got enough to pay the rent around this place.
That's right.
But you know what? You want the gospel? You want the truth? You want the Word of God? Come here. Bring a pad. Get it.
That's right.
Paul wanted to be able to open his mouth so they could get it. And this is why. Verse 21. This is the crux of why he wanted to. But now the righteousness of God, without you performing the law, without the law, is manifest. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Now, if your Bible says faith in, you got a problem with your Bible. You need to look at it. That's the wrong. You got a problem because it's not your faith in Jesus. Listen, that little of and in is very important. Whose faith is this? Whose faith is this? He's basically saying the faith of Jesus. The righteousness of God is by the faith of Jesus. What did the faith of Jesus do? It went and believing that God the Father would forgive your sins if He died for them. He believed God the Father just like you believe God the Father. It was His faith that saved you, not even your own faith. People make a big mistake of that. And so all the other versions of the Bible put faith in Jesus right there. That's very fascinating to me. You know why? It destroys the finished work of Calvary. You see, everything in Paul's epistles isn't about you at all. And about you believing, and about you walking, and about you joining a church, and in about you getting it figured out. It's about what God did for you through His Son, Jesus Christ, at that cross. So the prayers that Paul were praying were unique to Paul in the sense that he was praying that the words of utterance would be opened. So why? He could make known. You see, make known the mystery of Christ. What is the mystery of Christ? That He died for all of your sins. Now, you know, I had this guy list all the things he had to brag about. This is what he did. He did a very smart thing. These are the five top things I did to impress Christ. Well, he said this is just the first five. But that's a good list, isn't it? You know why? There's nothing he could brag about. So now think about this for just a minute. Think about the mentality. Then what about eternal life? See, this verse, remember the verse, there's none good, no, not one? How many understood that? Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to end here this morning so that the rest of these people could have a little bit of donuts. Now, I've got to tell you, the church up in Kentucky, every Sunday, they have a big... I don't know how many are there. We got a lot out on vacation and stuff up there even. But there's probably 25, 30 people up there watching. And they have a cookout every Sunday. So I'm going to figure out how to eat up there on Sunday. Because I get the leftovers like on Monday when I go up for the Bible class, but it's not nearly as good as when it's fresh, I bet. Every Sunday they're out there cooking for those people. I'm like, I'd show up just for the food. 2 Corinthians 5.
I have a suggestion.
What?
We charter a little bus from Rick to go up there.
Okay. You take care of that. You be on the charter bus committee and make that happen.
Y'all be careful because one day we'll come in and we'll find the big screen and he'll be up there preaching from up there down here and we'll be on the big screen.
Oh. Yeah. You know, you never know about these things. Technology is really fantastic. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. That's not where I wanted. Verse 19. Yeah, there it is. Verse 19. Oh, well, it's all good. You can read all of it if you want. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world on himself. Everybody read with me. Not imputing their trespasses onto them. Is God imputing your trespasses onto you?
No.
He said not. Not one sin is being imputed to you. You know, that's phenomenal. Not imputing their trespasses onto them. That's amazing. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's good stuff there. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you through Christ, beseech you by us. We pray you, and Christ said, be ye reconciled to God. Again, his prayers are what? That these people would be reconciled to God. Then he tells them, and this is my favorite verse when I got saved right here. For he, and by the way, people always think God capitalizes the pronoun he when he's being used. He does not. He doesn't think of himself more highly than he ought to think.
That's right.
He's God, so he doesn't have to impress people that he's God.
Right.
You don't have to impress me that you're saved by capitalizing all the pronouns. For he, that is Almighty God, hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, guys, come on. All these people who listed this was true, wasn't it? There was nothing he could brag about. But here's the other part of the puzzle. Is he never got the fact that he was made the righteousness of God in him. He thinks his righteousness is his ability to keep it. Or to walk a fine line. Or to do certain things. And that if he doesn't do those things, he ain't going to make it. David Z once said up there in thing, he said, I don't believe you can be saved without believing in eternal security. That's probably true. What would you think you're saved from? You see, we heard that. We heard that last Sunday. Forget that. Forget last Sunday. Everything's okay. I could have come through the monitor. I would have. I'm not being facetious. That was serious to me. But do you understand that God Almighty made his Son to be sin for you? That you, God's not imputing your trespasses onto you, bless God. He put all of them on his Savior, his Son. And let the filthy, sorry, rascal, little human beings, Roman soldiers, throw him on a cross in your behalf. Amazing, isn't it? In all of Paul's prayers, through all of his epistles, would be that you might understand that he might be able to make known, and on and on. And you know what? His prayer today wouldn't change. His prayer for you would be to make known. You know what? If you're not going to sit down and talk to people about the Word of God, why are you listening? What's the point? See, I don't really care whether you come to church. That isn't my goal. That isn't my job. My job is to do what?
Preach
the Word. You know what your job is? Take what you hear and go preach it too. My signature verse, if you ever get a note from me, will be 2 Timothy 2:2. And that my job is to teach faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's the job. My prayer is that you get it. You defend the faith. And that God, at the end of your life, when He calls you up, you'll be able to say with Paul that a crown of righteousness will be on to me. And not to me only, but all them that love is appearing. Y'all take a break.